Been batting a lot of sinuses. I apologize for that. It is wonderful to be here, but I have a word for you. I feel it. I have a word. It's time. It's time. How many of y'all came to church this morning expecting something? Really expecting. Listen to what I'm saying. Expecting something. How many of you have been at least a Christian for at least 5 years? At least 5 years. Well, my word is it's time to move up. It's time to go deeper. It's time to have expectations. Expectations are revelations that God has one for each of us today. It's time for the church to pray and fast, and you've done that. I was here with you whenever y'all had your New Year's Eve meeting, about 3 hours, I believe. I was very impressed with those that came. I thought, Lord, they're on a different level. And then y'all did the 21-day fast. And one of the things I had to say to you was something that John mentioned. The church has prayed and fasted corporately. It's now time for the church to pray. I hope you can hear me, because John already said it. I'm just reviewing it. It's time for the church to pray individually and fast individually. So you can accomplish just so much corporately. You can just get so much done corporately. And it's a wonderful thing. But a church is only as great corporately as it is as individuals. So the challenge now is for you. Now that you've prayed corporately, you've fasted corporately, is now individually, is this time to step up? It's time to go deeper. It's time for you as individuals to pray more, to fast. It's easy to hide behind the pastor. In fact, a lot of people think that if you really love God, you may have heard this yourself. Boy, they love God so much, I bet they're called to preach. No, that is the call of the church. That's not the call of the pastor. He has a calling. There are five of them. He has it. But we are called individually to minister, to be ministers. Folks, you don't have to say, I love. Say, I love Brother John. We can't petty anymore, John. Petting is over with this church. It's done. You have to get to a place where you don't allow yourself to get mad like you usually do. You don't allow yourself to complain like you usually do. You don't have that luxury anymore, church. God has called you deeper. Are you going to take the challenge? Church is only as strong as its individual members. You have been challenged to corporately pray and fast. Now God has called you individuals to a life where you now are eating meat. We can't live on milk. Only you individually and God know where you are in your walk. Doctors told my mom all the time growing up, only John really knows how much he can see. Only you know where you're at. You can fool the pastor, you can fool people, you can do this and that, although I believe God would speak to John if you tried it. You are called. Period. You hear that? You are called. Period. Now it's time to go deeper. God, listen to this, folks. God has not called you to your knees. He has called you to your face. Let me say it again. Because we always think, oh, we got to get on our knees. Well, yeah, we do. It's wonderful. But folks, I got a new challenge for you. He's called you to your face. To die to self, to do God's will and not your own. He has called you to walk with Him, to hear His voice. God's not just going to talk to His pastor, He's going to talk to you too, but you know what He's going to do? It's going to be the same message. If you have a message that does not line up with the Word of God, then you need to get back in the Word of God. People all over the place are shouting all kinds of things and stirring up the crowds about, oh, God is going to do this. He's going to do this for you. He's going to do this. And we get all excited. But to quote James Ashworth the best I can, if you preach prosperity without the cross, you are in danger. And we're all about prosperity. I am. I love it. Don't have much, but I would love it. God has called each of us to do that. I want to leave you guys a nugget. When you get a nugget in church, and you'll get your nuggets when you come expecting, you won't walk away empty because you're under a man of God. When you're under a man of God, there is always a nugget. Something that will change your life. Something that's a revelation. I encourage you to look for nuggets every time you come in here. Say, God, give me a nugget today. And write it down, post it, and review it. We don't review. We don't review enough. We tend to be more reviewing of negative things than positive things. But God has called us to review. What is reviewing? Reviewing will keep the devil from stealing your nuggets. Individually, you will determine where your church goes and grows corporately. This is where the meat is in our spiritual diet. We have to realize, and folks, this is an exciting thing. I'm not trying to put a heavy on you. This is good news. You want to change Gassaway? You want to change Braxton County? You want to change Kanawha County? Keep doing what you're doing. You cannot pray and fast without seeing something happen. You can't. Don't worry about working about all the exegesis and exegesis and all the things in the Bible. I'm telling you, folks, if you don't stand on guard, now the armor He's given us is for offense, not defense. We're not just to wait for the devil to attack. If we sense His presence, we are to go after Him. We are too passive. Tell you what, if you don't, He'll eat your lunch and He'll pop the bag. So I encourage you, as a church, and I say this because I love you, I've gotten to know this church a little bit, especially through the Bible study, and you guys have been so kind to me. So kind. But it's time. It's time to expect. It's time. So, it's time for a lot of things, guys. It's time for a lot of things. One of the things that's going to hold us back is carnality. Now, carnality is something that we hear about, we know about. We think we understand it. Carnality comes from the word carne, like chili con carne, chili with meat. It's living by the senses or your flesh, That's what carnality is. We think of carnality as, oh, they were carnal today. They sinned, right? But no, carnality is simply when you live by your five senses. Hear, see, taste, touch, smell. And if you live by that, then you'll die by that. So what we need to do is, as we go deeper, we have to resist carnality. Now, I mentioned it just briefly, but folks, I'm telling you, I'm a teacher and I have five schools I go to full of estrogen. I mean, just loaded with it. And I work with a lot of different women. I thought about writing a book someday entitled Lunch with the Girls, because I spend so much time with them and I hear their stories and a lot of their female stories and things where they don't know I'm in the room. So I meet a lot of people. I may meet people that have a different lifestyle, totally different lifestyle. My daughter's going through that right now, where some of her friends have decided to go to the dark side, so to speak, in their life. And it's real sad. And so she's having trouble finding friends that love the Lord and want to live by it. It's important that we interpret the scripture correctly. You can't read part of a verse and run with it. And in fact, if you read the scripture enough, it is a concordance in itself. So if you feel like, I don't understand strong concordance, I don't know how to do this, he said even a wavering fool could understand. So I have hope. So just start reading. Ask God to guide your words. Ask God to speak through you and speak to you through his word. So we are fighting carnality. So I guess if you call someone carnal, you're kind of calling on meathead, aren't you? Because we're living by the flesh. We can't afford to do that anymore. When I go to my schools, I run across a lot of things. I've been yelled at. Oh, my goodness. I have had a lot of situations. And my response is, I'm sorry. I am so sorry that I failed in any way. I was at one school where I got to know the principal because we rode together. And she one day decided to talk to me about things that I wasn't expecting. And she started talking about her view on homosexuality. But let's make one thing clear, first of all. Sin is sin. We love the social sins. We love to get on them, don't we? Because we don't do those. But do we gossip? Do we have unforgiveness in our heart? All these things will block God working through us and God healing us, which I want to get into if I have time. This principal began to tell me how her church believed about homosexuality. I'm listening. I'm just, oh, Jesus, help me. Because I try to be so careful. I don't proselyte. I want people to see Jesus in me. So they come up to me and say, I don't know what it is about you. I just like to be around you. They're being drawn to Jesus. It isn't me. It's him. So, folks, everywhere you go, you are the church. Everywhere you go, you are the church. What you do reflects on this church, on him. Well, she then basically asked me what I thought. John, it's tough. I mean, you know, she's my boss. I honor her. I respect her. I please her in every way I know I can. Doesn't matter if she's in the world. Don't justify your bosses because they're not Christians. No, you're to honor them. God will bless your socks off. So I said, well, as a Christian, I hold to the word of God. Well, she didn't like that. Because as a Christian, she didn't agree with the Bible that much. She said, well, our church has worked out that issue. In fact, I don't agree with some of the things Paul says. You know, folks, I don't want to serve a God I can change. I'm not interested in serving anybody that I have authority over. She has authority. She feels that she has authority. Well, she started getting cold towards me. And when I came to school one day, the very next time I came to that school, because I was there once a week, there was a scripture on my board. I don't know about you, if any of you are teachers out there, but I haven't ever had scripture put on my board before. This is what it said. Ephesians 2:8, New King James Version. For by grace you have been saved. That's good. Through faith. That's right. We are saved by grace through faith. You can't be saved with one without the other. Folks, if you're saved only by grace, you're living your own life. If you did by faith, you're living your own life. It's grace. Grace is receiving something we don't deserve. Faith is receiving something we do deserve, that God promised for us. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. Well, folks, that sounds really good. I could applaud. I could have gone right to her, and I'm sure she's the one that put it there. I could have, and see, it bothered her. Folks, when you're right, it bothers people. You don't have to preach to them. Folks, if you just stand on your two feet and stand and not change and not submit yourself to that type of authority, if you will simply stand, and what does the Bible say to you once you stood? Stand. If you will simply stand and not waver, your life will put them under conviction. Your life will really bug them. That's if they're carnal. Now, the Bible said, I'd rather be lukewarm or cold, right? I'd rather be hot or cold, right? Than lukewarm. Why? You mean he'd rather us be cold than why cold? Because lukewarm is carnal. How many people have you met that live in the world that are least honest? Oh, yeah, you're right, Pastor. You're right, John. You're right. That's right. They know. So, I read the scripture. I thought, well, that's good scripture. I could have gone to her right there and said, you know, so-and-so, that is an awesome scripture. That's wonderful. And it is. Well, let's read the next verse that she didn't put on the board. If I can find it here real quick. For we are his workmanship, his, not our works. Did you hear that? Not our works. Created in Christ Jesus. That means we are saved. We are in him, not of ourselves. For good works, okay, good works, that could be a lot of things, which God prepared beforehand. Now, that was the very next scripture that she did not put in there. But that scripture tells me that we are part of his workmanship. His. So should we know what he says about that subject? See, that scripture before didn't mention homosexuality, did it? No, she was safe. That was good. I pulled out what I wanted to hear. But if you follow on and say his workmanship and prepared beforehand by him, well, then you would think, well, let's find out what he thinks about homosexuality. And he's very clear. In fact, maybe the only place in the Bible that mentions homosexuality that you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it says lawyers, it'll be hard for them, but homosexuality says will not. So what do we have here, folks? She wanted to believe something. Now, whether she has that in her background, in her family, or even in herself, I don't know. But she wanted to believe that. So she found a way to do that by using the Bible. Well, so you can't do that. The devil did. The devil used the Bible to talk to Jesus. But he took it out of context. She's taking it out of context. So what I'm saying to you is, be sure that you follow through with what the Word says. Now, folks, Three things are needed to be in the center of God's will. You have to have it in the written word. You have to have it by the witness of the Holy Spirit. And you have to have it in confirmation. That is safe. You get that? So let's say you believe something and you're struggling with something. Talk to your pastor. If he does not agree with it, I would just shut that thing down and go look again. If he agrees with it, then we can find a confirming witness. There are some people that will go to enough people until they find someone that agrees with them. And they consider that a confirmation. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. So, she had me removed from her school. And that hurt. But I did what I believe was right. I can't be a wayfaring fool. I cannot be. I'm the kind of person that does not like to have arguments at all. But if you approach me with something and ask me, I'm going to tell you. And I'll do as much love as I can because I do love you. We had a homosexual teacher in one of our schools. And tell you, folks, I loved that man. I just loved on him and loved on him. And you know how I mean that. And he just loved talking to me and would want to share things with me and things. And I'm going, Jesus, this is, I'm waiting for that time for him to ask me something else. But unfortunately, he was transferred somewhere else where he wanted to be, someplace else. There is a difference between our works and obedience. I got a revelation for you. When answering the Bible, when answering biblical questions, use the Bible. It's like, duh. But folks, we got people all over the place that are using parts of the Bible, that are pulling things out or even going contrary to the Bible. And I don't know how they do it. I've heard people preach that they don't believe in hell anymore. Jesus spoke more on hell than he did heaven. He said he desired that none should perish. And as mentioned, the Bible is its own concordance. For example, if you have your Bibles, could you turn to Hezekiah and let me know? Just say amen when you get there. Well, I'll save us time. There is no Hezekiah, which is my point. If I was talking to some people in time, I could convince people just by what I say that there is a book of Hezekiah. What I'm saying is we cannot develop our walk with God based upon what we hear alone. Pass his word, prove him out. Anybody else? Do not take someone's word, especially if in your spirit you get a red flag. It doesn't mean you have a critical spirit. It means God is checking you. And you need to be able to do that. How are you going to stand on your own two feet if all you know is what you've heard? It will get you in a dark place. In other words, don't let your walk with God be the result of hearsay and opinion. And folks, there's a lot of people they'll quote things that aren't even in the Bible. And it's like, okay. So you have to be careful. And here's examples of how important. These are just a few rough examples. Now, I apologize to you up there. I don't know if you've put any scriptures up there or not yet, but I'm going to refer to some scriptures in generality, and they're not on that list, so I do apologize for that. He tells us that his sheep know him and hear his voice. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting? Folks, I'm telling you, that's exciting. You may feel like you don't have one of the nine gifts, but he says, my sheep know me and hear my voice. That's awesome. And I've had God talk to me. And it's like, even for this, I was in the shower this morning. He was just feeding me stuff. And I jumped out of the shower and started typing. Also, he who keeps his commandments abides in him. You can't walk with God and not obey. You can't do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Folks, it's time to know who's in charge. It's not your pastor. It's God. God is in charge. And God will speak. You know, they jumped all over Moses. And what did God say? I will speak through him. Period. End of sentence. Because they were complaining. They didn't like what Moses had to say. And God made it clear. I'm going to talk through him. Any questions? God will speak through him. Now, here's the exciting part. God will speak through you too. This is not a dictatorship where you can't question your pastor or this and that. But folks, there's a difference between asking questions and questioning. If there is one thing I'd love to get across to all of us, including me, and this is a journey I have been on that God's really helped me with, because I have a dear relative that just really struggles with things that have gone on in their life and the past and everything. And here's what I share with them. You have to get to the point where God is not the question anymore. Now, what I'm saying is, let's say you haven't had something happen that you expected, you prayed for, it's God's will, the Word says it, pray this way. It's one thing to ask God questions about the Bible. But folks, I see it over and over again. We go in cycles. And one day it's like, where is God? I don't understand this. And it turns into anger. You're not going to get anywhere. Now listen, you're not going to get anywhere until you come to the place where God is never the problem. That sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? I almost feel apologetic to say it. But it's much more than what I'm saying. We cannot grow as a church, a body, individually, if we still look at God as an option to our problems. I've been trusting a long time for some things. Praise God. I just love him. I thank him. I say, God, you're faithful. I don't understand what just happened there. It looked like I lost. That principal got promoted the next year to best principal in the county. Well, what am I going to do with that? Nothing. But pray that I love her when I see her. Folks, we're here to win the loss. We're not here to win an argument. And we're trying to win the argument. James Asher told me a story about how he saw two people arguing on the street, and the one man that lost the argument put his head down and walked away. And God spoke to James and told him right there. He won the argument and lost the man. We've got to get pride out of the way. It's not about us. It's not about me here. Folks, I came here to fall on the sword. I said, Jesus, I need help. And bless their hearts. That blessed hearts, those in our Bible study just encouraged me, encouraged me, encouraged me. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for that, because I have fasted and prayed. When I was young, in my latter 20s, I was so lonely. I was so lonely to meet somebody. But I always ended my prayers this way, and it's always safe, guys, to do this. I'd always end my prayer, whether it be over my loneliness or what am I supposed to do with my life. Nonetheless, Lord, I got to do your will. I have to. God, if I'm by myself the rest of my life, if I'm this or that, God, I have to do your will. God, I give you permission to make me. This is how I would pray over and over again. Because I know that when I get to the end of my life, that's all that's going to matter to me. I know that. I know that. That's a fact. I know that. So why not get it over with right now? God, have your way. And God has had me more on my face than my knees. Breaking me and breaking me and breaking. And folks, I'm far from where I need to be. But that's what he's trying to do, is break me so he can use me. As I mentioned to John the other day, being broken is being available. Whatever God has called us to do, yes, Lord. Folks, you don't have the right to be angry anymore at people. The Bible says be angry and sin not. There's a righteous anger. There's a carnal anger. And just because in West Virginia we put bless their hearts, we can't say what we want to say. We think that kind of covers it. God, you understand, bless their hearts, they're idiots. And then we think we're all right. Well, we're not. So we can't, folks, we don't have the luxury in this church anymore to get mad because someone made you mad. We don't have the right anymore in this church to covet what someone else has. I prayed 7 years. I won't go into the whole story. I prayed 7 years for God to show me who my companion was. 7 years until God showed me. I said, God, you can marry a lot of people. I want to marry the one you have for me. The one you call. And I know a lot of people don't believe that. And it's all right. That doesn't throw me. Well, I don't believe there's just one. Well, I tell you what. He said, if you let me have the choice, I got the best for you. To me, that's one. Now, if we fail, he's so wonderful and gracious that he picks us up and he starts a new path for us. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, not wonderful that we failed, but wonderful that God will say, okay, give it to me now. Can I have it now? Can I have it now? And when you give it to him, he said, I got the best for you. You are going to love it. But folks, there's a price that comes with that. You got to want what he wants, not what you want anymore. It's not your life. Paul referred to us as servants. So it's time to know who's in charge. Unfortunately, we are more concerned about God's faithfulness to us instead of our faithfulness to him. God, where are you? You promised. Where are you? I used to joke with my wife that she had God on an egg timer, because she gave about 15 minutes, and he didn't answer. But see, that's because of her childlike faith. Jane Jasper said, she may be the easiest person he's ever prayed for, because of her childlike faith. She's a wonderful woman of God, wonderful mother, wonderful wife, awesome cook. That's a little extra. God threw that one in there. TV ministers are emphasizing blessings. And folks, hey, what pastor doesn't want to see his people blessed? But he also wants them in the center of God's will. Finding the center of God's will is a whole different walk than being a Christian. What we as the church need first and most importantly is a knowledge of his word and a renewing of our minds so that we can walk in its revelation. Proverbs tells us that without a vision, the people perish. You may have a large crowd, but no power. Can I give you another one? You can have a small crowd and no power. People like to brag sometimes, well, I go to a little church. Yeah, we go to the same house every night and spend time together. Just proud, not growing, no power, just social. That's all it is. But when God starts working on you, and he has, God's working on you. I know that, and God, John knows that. God is working on you, and he's working on me. Folks, you should be really encouraged when God works on you at all. When you sense, see, when God corrects us, he does it with so much love. Yeah, I know that people say, God took me to the woodshed. But I tell you what, it's not like the woodshed when I grew up. It just hurt, period. I don't know if I learned anything. It just hurt. But God is, his love is so great, and I want to talk about, if I have get to that, I want to mention something about that, about how much God loves us. While we get saved, when we get saved, we are new creations in Christ. Now listen, I hate to break this to you, but our spirits are perfect when we're saved. Not that part. But when you get saved, your spirit is perfect. Perfect. Never more perfect than it is right now, even in heaven. Now the soul's another issue, and we'll talk about that. But our minds, unfortunately, are not new. We are a new creation, but not our minds, unfortunately. Our minds are where it was when we went to the altar. But God's changed our heart now. He's working on our soul, and he's given us a spirit that's perfect. How else could God say to you, lay hands on the sick that they may recover? How else could he say to you to go out and win the lost? It's the power. In fact, he says the same power that raised him from the dead lives in you. And that same spirit will quicken your mortal body. That's powerful scripture, folks. That's talking about the God of the universe. Folks, why do you think we bow our heads when we pray? We're talking to God. Hi, God. He's in here. We do not have to call God down. We don't have to go to prayer and pray for God to show up. You bring him with you. So when you come, we should expect something to happen. Oh, it could be a financial blessing. It could be a physical blessing. It could be a word that just opens up your heart to God. It could be a number of things. But our minds have to be renewed. Folks, one of the hardest things you will ever do is renew your mind. Mark it down. One of the hardest things you will ever try to do is renew your mind, because you're in war. Your flesh is crying out. Hey, when I fast, I like to say I'm so spiritual I don't think about it, but I get hungry. My daughter went out to eat last night to one of my favorite places. How do you think I feel about that? So I just went to pray. I want to pray. I thought that whenever, I thought I was going to be here last week, and I entitled the sermon, It's Time. Well, when it was changed this week, I thought, well, I should change the title, so I changed it to It's Too Late. I thought, well, that doesn't work. God has the best of those leading choice to you, him, but you're too late. I knew that wasn't going to work, so it dawned on me that they actually canceled service. So really, I didn't miss the service. So I kept the name. It's time. Be careful that you don't act on something only because you feel it feels good. It's very dangerous. I'm telling you, folks, God, isn't it wonderful when God works through your feelings? You feel his presence. You get that tingle or that rush or that tear or something. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. But don't let it be your guiding light. Don't let it decide what's right and wrong. Make sure it lines up with God's word. Folks, you know, I like politics, and I'm telling you what, I'm struggling, man. With the carnality, the hate, the bitterness, the lying. And you know what? You know what bothers me the most about it, John? There is no conscience about it. It doesn't bother him at all. Folks, if you sin long enough, it becomes comfortable. That's dangerous. So be thankful when God works on you and convicts you. Be thankful when God talks to you. Be thankful when God puts his finger on something. Don't be offended. It's because he loves you. He loves you that much. Anytime we put the blessings before the cross, the flesh before the word, we are truly in trouble. Also, don't put God on a schedule. Put yourself on one. He's in charge, not you. Don't go telling God what to do. Now, it's all right to remind him what the word says. You know, folks, I think a lot of us would pray a lot more if we realized what prayer was. Oh, it's just sitting down talking to him. It has changed my life as far as my prayer life. Just sit down, just talk to him. You know why he created us? So we can have fellowship. You know what it does to him when you sit down and tell him you love him? Oh, you may not feel any tingle, but he does. When Stephen was stoned, the Bible tells that Jesus stood. I don't think he stood because he was about to die. I think he stood because of what he stood for. He said, "That's my boy. Right there. Watch him. He loves me so much. Look at him." God was moved by his love. You may get to heaven and find out that he stood for you once or twice. You may get to heaven. You know the old poem where he sees one set of footprints in the sand. He said, "God, where were you? I was in a hard time." He said, "That's when I carried you." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we get to heaven? Jesus is going to reveal a lot of stuff to us, folks, when we get there. Get ready. It's not all about the glimmer and the bling, which we all look forward to. What's my mansion going to look like? Do I have a good neighbor? All kinds of stuff. No, he's going to be telling you secrets. He's going to be telling you things. "Hey, John, you remember whenever this happened? And that principal did that to you? And it hurt you? I was getting you out of there." She wasn't in charge, folks. God's in charge. God's in control. Not her. See, folks, this is the lie of the devil. Every time someone attacks you and it appears that they win, no. God allowed it. God allowed it because he loves you that much. And if you do wait before him, he's already promised, as I said, I can't say it enough. He said, "I had the best for those who leave the choice to me." I got the best. My wife is absolutely the best friend I could ever want. I've been working on some cards. And every time I get one, it's because I thought of her. Every. 1 John tells us that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, folks, think about this. This means that he hears every prayer and he answers every prayer if we pray his will. Did you get that? If you ever want to know if God hears you, first of all, praise him. He inhabits the praises of his people. Folks, if you ever want to know if God's in your presence, praise him. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty simple. But if you, and you know, we all do that. God, where are you? Where are you? Right here. I'm right here. There's just times when he doesn't talk. But he's still right there. It's all right if you don't hear his voice. He's right there. That encourages me. The devil wants to tell you, listen, folks, God will never tell you anything discouraging. Even when he corrects you, it's full of wonderful love. God will never discourage you. If you ever hear a word that says discouragement over your life, you rebuke it. God is not in that. He's not part of that. He's not, and I haven't got into healing at all, but God is not into, God does not want to take your life through a disease. Well, if we're going to die, do we attend some? No. No. You can go to sleep. We serve a great God, people. This is not time to pull back. This is not time. You've fasted for 21 days. You've prayed for hours on New Year's Eve and fasted then. No, don't go back. Don't look at results as a reason for why you're doing it. They'll come, but not in your time. Because if he does it in your time, it's carnal. If he does it in your time, it's carnal. God is not on your schedule. You're on his. What he says is what matters, not what anybody says. Oh, Jesus, help us. This means that he hears every prayer. Now think of this, folks. That scripture tells us that he hears every prayer and answers every prayer if you're praying his will. Man, it might be a good idea to find out what God wants. So let's start there. God, what do you want? Duh. Don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about God. Folks, he has given you authority. Not over him, but he has given you authority. He has told you to speak to mountains that they may be removed. He has told you to lay hands on the sick, deliver those of demons, raise the dead. Now, how are you going to do that? What have you got in your pockets? I don't have anything. But God gave you a perfect spirit and said, now go do it. He said, greater things you'll do than I did. The very last thing that God said, Jesus said when he went to heaven was what? Lay hands on the sick. Did you realize that? Right before he went up to sit at the right hand of the Father, he said, lay hands on the sick, and he went up. He said a few other things. But he said, how important was it? And what did he mean by you'll do greater things than me? Well, some like to think, well, he's in one body, the Spirit's in all bodies, he can do more. I think I meant more than that. I think he turned us loose. I think he turned us loose. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know he loves me. I know he loves me. Psalms tells us that if we seek him, he will hear us and deliver us from all our fear. Psalms 34:4. I have held on to that scripture for many years. I'm jumping all over the place on my writing. Let me say this. Folks, it's time to grab a hold of God's word, especially where he says, simply ask. I'm telling you, folks, if there was ever an open door, when he says, just simply ask. Folks, what are we waiting for? He said, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask. I'll give it to him liberally. What are we waiting for? Do we need wisdom? A lot of it. Because we are being led by the devil and don't even know it sometimes. If you let the word of man strike fear in your heart, then why don't we let the word of God strike faith in our heart? Someone gets a cold and doesn't want to shake your hands because they're afraid they might pass it on. Well, I caught healing a long time ago. Let me shake your hand and pray for you. Folks, we need to get on the offense. The devil is his footstool. You know what? Jesus is your brother. How about that? God is my father. Devil, take that. The devil has no authority. The Bible says for a reason that he's like a roaring lion. He's not a lion, folks. He has no teeth or nothing. He is like a roaring lion. He makes a lot of noise. And now one of the biggest things he works on is dealing with your past. Man, he will beat you to death. Well, my sin's worse than anybody's ever has been. I know that God forgives me, but I can't deal with it, and this and this. Well, the devil just pulls you down. Folks, we got to believe that when Jesus said, that God said, I'll separate your sins as far as east from the west, which is infinity. So far have I removed your transgressions from you. Do you know that God doesn't even look at you as once sinner? How about that one? God doesn't even look at you as once a sinner. He can't remember it. If you ask him about anything in your past, what's he going to say, John? What? What are you talking about? That's pretty heavy. But we condemn ourselves. The Bible says there is therefore no more condemnation to those who are in Christ. Well, then why do I feel condemned all the time? We condemn ourselves. And we let the devil in on the act. God will never condemn you ever again as a Christian. In fact, you know what he did? He crucified his son. Now, why did I word it that way? Jesus says, no one takes my life, I lay it down. So God crucified his own son so that you would not have to suffer condemnation ever again. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Do you see the covering of the blood? The covering that's on us. It's time to believe, not have unbelief, and renew our minds, as I mentioned earlier. Proverbs 4:22. For they, meaning God's word, bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Ooh, I love that. Folks, anytime God uses the word all or whole or every, underline it. God doesn't lie. Whatever he says in his word is exactly what you can count on. In fact, you don't even have to ask God to heal you. He's already done it. Oh, Isaiah, they think there's a contradiction in the Bible because Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. Peter said, by his stripes we were healed. That's not a contradiction. Isaiah was referring to what was coming, Revelation. John, Peter was talking about what happened. By his stripes you were healed. Healing to our whole body. For they, the word brings life. So we have to be in the word, don't we? We have to know the word. And I encourage you, like I do my daughter, read the word. Start in the four Gospels, go to Psalm and Proverbs and read a little bit. And if you see anything that's going to change your life that really affected you, write it down and post it so you can review it every day. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll try to steal it from you. John, how are you doing? Time? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. That is part one. John, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I apologize. Well, that's the beginning of it's time. So I encourage you, and I hope you found something this morning that you can take home that you didn't have when you came. And post it, folks. Please don't just say, I'll remember. Post it. Post it on a card or something so you'll see that, oh, I forgot about that. I can't tell you the times I listen to sermon after sermon after sermon and get new things every time. It's like, how did I miss that? Or just reviewing it helped me. So thank you for the privilege of letting me be here with you guys today.
That's an awesome word.
Thank you.
That's an awesome word.
It was part of a word.